Thank you, and good evening. I appreciate you guys coming out at 5 o'clock.
Actually, Secretary Pichel, maybe I'll ask you to join me up here, because I think it'll be easier for the people on the phone to hear, if that works, and then you'll be facing everyone, too. So if that works, okay. And let me just give a background. Right now, we're going to be talking about this. We are then, there are elements of this that are appropriate for closed session, that we're going to be going into a closed session, and then I expect we'll be coming back and potentially voting after that point. So I will hand the mic over to you, Secretary Pichel.
Thank you. So first of all, I would just really like to thank the board as open enrollment draws to a close. There's been a lot of resources and changes that have happened to support open enrollment, and that certainly would not have been possible without your support. So I want to thank the board for everything that they have done. The functionality of the IT system has improved dramatically since December. There have been hundreds of fixes that have been put in place, primarily around the user experience and also to support open enrollment. And it's because of these improvements and the support of the manual effort that has been undertaken to support the gaps that we had in the technology. There's literally hundreds of consumer assistance workers across the state that have helped us, along with the dedicated MHBE staff. And because of that, Maryland has surpassed its enrollment goals. So there are many families who have the security and the peace of mind at this point of having quality, affordable health insurance because of the IT team that have worked so hard, as well as the manual processes that were put in place from the operational team. So I just really want to draw that out and thank everybody for their efforts. However, despite these efforts, the system is deeply flawed. Over the past 2 months, we've analyzed a number of options on what to do to the Health Exchange platform moving forward after open enrollment. This involved extensive consultation with Optum QSSI as well as IBM. And our in-depth review has shown that the current system has serious architectural flaws. And in part, it revolves around the commercial off-the-shelf product, Curum, which was not as mature as it was represented during the procurement process. And it lacks the functionality to meet the requirements of the ACA. It did in October, and it continues to struggle today. Ultimately, we considered three options that were viable. One was remediating the current system. One was migrating to the Federally Facilitated Marketplace, or FFM. And then the other was upgrading our system by leveraging a platform from another state, such as Connecticut or Kentucky. We took a very hard look at our current system, and we determined that remediating our current system would take over 12 months and cost more than $66 million. And the resulting product would likely still not meet our needs. It would not be stable, sustainable, and adaptable to our future business model. One of the other concerns that we had was the fact that the product that really makes up the heart of our system, we didn't have any visibility into the remediation of that product, or we wouldn't have any control over the timing. So essentially, we would have no control or visibility into the correction of the single most important part of our system moving forward. We also concluded that the FFM option, while it does support QHP enrollment, it did not adequately support our business model or Medicaid. The state would still have to build or transfer an eligibility and case management solution to be able to make the FFM option work. That made it actually more costly, and it would take longer, and it would not fully support Maryland's business model as a state-based exchange. Based on this review, we recommended that the exchange leverage the Connecticut IT platform to upgrade the current technology for the website for open enrollment of 2014, November 15th of 2014. This approach will allow us basically to have a rapid implementation of this solution to support both QHP and Medicaid. It is feasible within the timeline between now and the next open enrollment, and it maximizes the reuse of existing hardware and software. I'm going to spend a little bit of time going over the review in depth and sort of hit on the highlights. Obviously, you've got the full analysis and the documents you were provided, but I'll call out the core things that really drove many of our decisions. On March 3rd, Optum delivered its feasibility study to the state. The analysis basically had five options initially. One was remediating the current system, partnering with the FFM, transferring another state's technology to Maryland, creating and joining a state consortium, or building an entirely new system. We pretty rapidly ruled out joining another state consortium. There were no consortiums. There would be a lot of effort to set up the governance, and we really didn't have a model to follow in that particular path forward. And then building a new system it's just not feasible in the time frame, and it would basically be, you know, restarting from scratch. The key factors that we looked at included the evaluation of the functionality of the target system, including its usability, security, and underlying technology. We also looked at the reusability and compatibility with the existing MHPE infrastructure and architecture, including hardware and software. We looked at the amount of customization or retrofits that would be needed to make it available to Maryland, and whether or not we could adapt or transfer the code base, and whether or not we could acquire the intellectual property to do so. We looked at the timeline for migration or remediation. We did a rough order of magnitude for the cost, and we also looked at the total cost of ownership long term. There were a number of components that we also looked at to make sure that those key components could be available to us before the next open enrollment. And then we spent a lot of time evaluating the risk of each of the options, including the delivery of the solution within the current timeline, the functionality, the compliance, the financial constraints, and the availability of skilled resources to complete the work. Of note, in the evaluation of the FFM in the Optum analysis, it only looked at the FFM piece of it. It did not take into consideration the need for a modern Medicaid eligibility and enrollment system. Should that option be chosen, we would still have to have the back-end functionality for Medicaid, and we would have to look at build or transfer an eligibility and case management system for that. So when you review the analysis, if you could keep in mind that it really only looked at the hookup between the Medicaid system that they would assume that we would have and the FFM. Optum looked at a number of states. We looked at Connecticut. We looked at Kentucky, Washington, New York, California, and Nevada after we determined that a transfer was a viable solution. And the evaluation process included interviews, demonstrations, a technology assessment in terms of fit, reusability, feasibility, and cost. And ultimately, the review identified Connecticut as a solution that best met our needs. The conclusion was essentially based on a simple and effective design, which you'll get to see. I think we've got a few slides that we're going to show you, a proven in the marketplace solution. So really what this meant is this is a solution that's in production. It's been working. It's worked for hundreds of thousands of folks in Connecticut. So it is in production and is working. The reusability of the software and the hardware from Maryland to help minimize our cost, the technical feasibility of it, and the potential for expansion for other uses later. So the ability for us to add other programs or interface with other social services or expand or build on our business model. And then a reasonable cost compared to the other alternatives. And as I mentioned, the entire Optum report is attached in your packet, and we can certainly go through any specific questions that you have. In terms of comparison of the options with the analysis, we developed a scope of work, and then we sought proposals from other vendors, including Deloitte and other vendors who had familiarity with this particular product in the market. In the memo that you have, there is a snapshot, and I'm going to hit on some of the key items there that basically identify the various areas that we looked at and the risk, including high risk, yellow being acceptable risk, and then green being a relatively low risk. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the current system because we did determine that remediating it would be too costly and too risky and take too much time. So I'm really going to focus on the comparison between the FFM and upgrading to the Connecticut IT platform. So for QHP functionality, both the FFM and Connecticut support QHP functionality, and the QHP timeline for both is essentially 6 months. So they both have about the same level of functionality. It's when you get to the Medicaid functionality that you really see some divergence in the two options. So for Medicaid, for the FFM option, as I mentioned, Maryland does not have a MAGI rules engine, nor does it have an eligibility and case management system. So we would still have to acquire that either through bill from scratch, transfer from another state. The Connecticut platform is a production-tested MAGI rules engine. It does provide an integrated solution for both MAGI and QHP. It would require development of web service, transfer of data, and an MMIS interface. The Medicaid timeline for the FFM piece would be 12 to 18 months because we would have to identify a system, vet that system, and either build or transfer it to Maryland, and then connect it to the federal exchange. For Connecticut, it would be approximately 7 months. The other piece that we looked at was really how to manage the churn between APTC or QHP and Medicaid. And for the FFM piece, because we did not have the MAGI rules engine or the case management system, we would not be able to manage that churn effectively. The Connecticut platform is an integrated solution, as I mentioned. It does include MAGI. It does include QHP, commercial health insurance, to allow a consistent client and worker experience. We took a really hard look at the consumer assistance network to see how we could leverage what had been put in place. As Dr. Sharfstein mentioned, the exchange is much more than just a website. There's a whole system of care. There's a whole set of navigators and caseworkers who support this process. And for the FFM, it was really unclear exactly how the Consumer Assistance Network would help with enrollment and case management. There isn't a lot of access or visibility into the FFM, so we weren't sure how the call center and the navigator entities would interact. And we would have to revamp the business processes pretty substantially for a move to the FFM. For the upgrade to the Connecticut platform, the Consumer Assistance Network would remain largely intact. Pretty much the same way it works today, they would be using a slightly different technology to complete their work. So the change management process for that would be a lot easier, and I think that would support the migration and ease some of the transition to the newer technology. In terms of the business model, we define that around integration with social services and the ability to customize or manage our own marketplace and evolve our business model. The FFM would not support that. It does not support our ability to integrate with other social services, or it would not support a no-wrong-door approach because our folks couldn't come in for cash assistance or food nutrition assistance through the FFM, so we would lose that ability. The Connecticut platform is that integrated solution that I mentioned. It is used by state workers, navigators, citizens, and it would support integration and interoperability. It would be owned, managed, and maintained by Maryland, which would allow us to make whatever changes we needed to or wanted to as our business model evolved on the time frame that we needed to do that. In terms of interfaces, both to the carriers and the federal hub, essentially the same. So you would have to build new interfaces for the carriers, both for the FFM and for the Connecticut platform. And for the FFM, you would have to build the interface to determine if someone had minimal essential coverage or Medicaid. And for Connecticut, you would still have to build the MMIS interface. So they were largely equal from that perspective. We looked at it from a technology perspective, including security, availability of skill sets, and the use of open source. The FFM, again, we don't have access to the FFM, and Maryland doesn't have the MAGI rules engine for case management, so all of that would have to be acquired. For Connecticut, it does reuse production-proven assets, including the MAGI rules engine, notices, architecture, and integration layer. It is built using a standard development language, and the resources that are necessary to support it are readily available in the market. The timeline for implementation, 12 to 18 months for the FFM, primarily because we would have to acquire the case management system, complete it, and then hook it up to the FFM. And then for Connecticut, 7 months for the core functionality. This would basically be a lift of the functionality that Maryland would then adopt. There would be very limited changes or retrofitting that would occur. The development costs are roughly the same. For the FFM, approximately $43 to $53 million. For Connecticut, $40 to $50 million. And there would also be hardware and software cost in addition to that. For Connecticut, as I mentioned, we're also looking at reusing a number of the hardware and software components that we currently have to help minimize that cost. The total cost of ownership, approximately $6 million for FFM, approximately $6 million for Connecticut. The one thing that I would like to point out here is that the total cost of ownership, and this all excludes enhancements, for our current system would be about $18 million. So over the long run, there's substantial cost savings by having a purpose-built solution. It's a substantial difference between the total cost of ownership. There's a financial comparison. We've paid Noridian about 55. I'm sorry?
Certainly.
So the total cost of ownership is really after your system is implemented and the maintenance and operation and hosting of that system. So sort of a heuristic rule is that approximately 10% of what your development cost would be is used for maintenance and operation for things that are purpose-built. The cost for our current system of care is much greater because we have maintenance and operation, we have hosting, but we also have license fees of about $6 million that we pay annually for the products that we use. We have a federated set of products that are affiliated to create the system of care. So the cost of ownership year over year is lower, significantly lower, either for the FFM or the Connecticut option than it is for the current system because you have more control over the software and you do not pay license fees. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
So in terms of the financial comparison, we've paid Noridian about $55 million for development, hardware, and software. Obviously, the exchange can seek to recoup these expenditures through litigation, but we also expect that during this transition period that we will pay additional development cost to our new prime contractor, Optum QSSI, for the existing system. It's very difficult to compare state IT spending. However, it appears that even if you assume no recovery, our cost, including the development costs for Noridian, Optum, and Deloitte, would be comparable to what other states are spending on their exchange and Medicaid eligibility and enrollment systems. For example, Kentucky, I believe, is $101 million. Rhode Island is $105 million. Oregon was $130 million. And New York was $183 million, to kind of give you a lay of the land. Moreover, Maryland is a little better positioned relative to some other states because we have not spent a significant amount of funding in recent years for our current Medicaid and eligibility and enrollment system. So as a result, even prior to the recoupment of any funds, our costs are likely to remain in the same range as many other states. So we have been working very closely with CMS throughout this process. If the board approves leveraging the Connecticut IT technology platform, we will put that in part of our corrective action plan that we will submit to CMS, and we anticipate approval of that plan that would make us eligible for continued IT funding through 2014. So just to wrap up, Maryland's current IT platform has serious defects, and an attempt at remediation is unacceptably costly, risky, and it does take over 12 months. And we're not entirely sure if we made that investment that we would have a system that would meet our long-term needs. Partnership with the FFM is not an attractive option at this time either, simply because we do not have the Medicaid eligibility and enrollment system that would be needed to support it. And so we are recommending that Maryland leverage the IT platform and code base from Connecticut to upgrade the health connection. I want to be very clear that to be able to succeed by November, we will absolutely have to accept the system as is, which means there will be very little or minor retrofitting. So it would include branding, changing of notices, interfaces that we needed to build, and any changes to the rules that we would need to make to accommodate Maryland-specific rules. This would provide Maryland with an integrated solution, a consistent client and worker experience, and it would create an effective foundation for future growth. All options here present risk, but based on the risk, cost, functional, and technical fit, leveraging the Connecticut platform is the best option for Maryland. If the board authorizes this project, we will work with Deloitte to expeditiously move this project.